Stan Wawrinka break a racket by bending it and breaking it over his knee. But unfortunately for Goran Tamute, it didn't work.
It's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Because it's a wee bit awkward.
He tried to break it on his foot, and then he tried to break it on his knee, and he tried three times. And then he then had to look at the racket to check whether it had a crack in it. And I don't even think it's got a crack in it. He's playing on with the same racket.
I mean, it's a good advertisement for the racket. You know, it withstands all sorts of trouble. Yeah, look, he tried to break it at the throat of the racket. Put his foot on the throat of the racket.
It's not great, is it? It's like when you storm out, slam the door and realise you've forgotten your handbag.
Yeah, it's just, you got to go back and be like, okay. Mute serves out wide with the racket that he tried to break and he hits the backhand. It's a short ball. Sinner approaches with the off forehand. A pickup from Mute. The put away from Yannick Sinner, who has a point for 4-1 in the fourth. Chris says, so glad I've got good reception because after staying with you till the end this morning, today took me to the Logan Square Farmers Market, Chicago. Got me some flowers to plant, rhubarb and strawberries and some anti-conquista coffee beans from the Sellers family in Guatemala. Thanks for keeping us feeling like we're there without feeling bad for not being in the stands. Cheers, Chris. Break point, serve out wide. The backhand spins down the line, flipped into the centre from Mute. Mute with his double-handed backhand down the line to the cross-court Sinner. Beauty of a backhand. It is a winner from Sinner, and he moves to 4-1 in the fourth and leads by 2-1.
Well, Mute managed, who's still, by the way, chuntering away at the umpire and his box and anyone who'll listen. But Mute managed to resist going two breaks down in his previous service game, but this time...
What's he saying? He's saying it's unplayable. He's talking about... Apologies for any language you might be picking up.
Well, I think the DJ and Beyonce might save Mute's blushes here. He's still remonstrating. He's got his arms out. Everything's very unfair.
Just because you couldn't break your racket. That's on you, fella.
And also, that in the context of this match, this won't be why Goran Tamute loses this match. It will buy a lot. He might have had a foot fault call that went against him. And that is misfortune if that is the case. But arguing about it a game and a half later isn't going to do him any good.
Self-sabotage in full display. He sits down. As soon as he sits down, time is called, so he has to stand up. That was brilliant. As his bottom touched the seat, time was called and his bottom rose from the seat. Sinner is ready to serve. Sinner knows the job is done. 4-1, couple of holes, possibly a hold and a break, and Sinner will be into the quarterfinals. Serve out wide. Down the tee it goes, through the middle it goes, lofted from Mute. Mute with his forehand digging it deep into the backhand wing of Sinner. Then he redirects and misses the inside out forehand. You feel that every time he's now hitting his head with his left hand, but you feel, actually no, he just punched the side of his left head with his left fist, but you feel every time he misses, he has to try and count to 10 to keep himself civilized.
It's all just bubbling under, isn't it? The fury, the rage, the disappointment.
4-1, 15, love. Sinner, the quick look up and down. Serve out wide. Oh, service return winner. A little fist pump from Mute. Better pumping the fist than pumping the side of his head with the fist.
But even that didn't lift him. You know, that was the sort of shot that he was hitting for fun in the first set. Each time he did it, he was pumping up the crowd and palms out, shouting, willing himself on.
Backhand from Sinner. Forehand up the line from Mute, and it's wide from Sinner.
Amy says, greetings from Cincinnati. Thanks so much for your coverage and wonderful commentary. My favourite is when Lady E and Gigi get all punchy late at night. I don't know what you mean, Amy. I have one earbud in at the moment while helping out at the museum centre.
I'm going to be in Cincy for the tennis later this year. So maybe see you there, Amy. Sinner serves down the tee, back through the middle of the court. The inside out forehand, the squash shot from Mute is out of position. The inside in from Sinner, the pickup from Mute. Sinner lets it bounce, should deal with it. Smashes it away. Mute gets to the back ebony nets. 30 all, a little window opportunity has been closed for now. Sonny says a foot fault on an underarm serve. 49 years of tennis, I've never heard of that at any level. Congratulations, Corentin Mute. Bertiol, 4-1. Sinner serves out wide. The inside-out forehand to the feet of Sinner. He goes back through the middle of the court. The off forehand from Mute is good. Mute is really digging deep here, but Sinner is defending well. Sinner to the backhand side goes cross-court backhand to the off forehand winner from Corentin Mute. He's got a really loose arm at the moment.
Well, he's unpredictable at the best of times, but when Mute is in this sort of mood, where his emotions are all over the place, it's winner alternating with terrible mistake, an error. Sinner just needs to try and keep Mute at bay here, keep these two breaks of serve. He won't be worried. He knows that he's weathered the storm.
Sinner serves down the tee. It is blocked back, short ball into the corner goes Sinner, lofted up by Mute. Sinner runs back. Ooh, it catches back edge of the line. Forehand, cross-court and deep. Inside in from Mute. Cross-court, the backhand goes Sinner. Cross-court and wide goes Mute, who now runs around in a circle, putting his head on the butt of the racket.
Now he's bouncing the racket on the clay. Oh, it's getting some good testing, is that racket.
Curious.
That would make me dizzy if I did that. He had his head down on the floor and he did a little circle round.
Serve down the tee, the stretch at short ball. Sinner comes in the short ball into the corner. It's lofted up off the backhand side. The smash is down and clean and good. And Sinner has a game point for 5-1 in the fourth set.
And Mute just chattering away to himself, shaking his head, despairing. Trying to dance on his toes, trying to recapture a bit of energy.
Serve out wide into the net. And Yannick Sinner is a game away from his place in the Roland Garros quarterfinals.
Sinner's done a very, very good job of keeping this crowd largely quiet. There have been moments of Mute magic, but not enough to threaten this lead that Sinner now has.
I was ready for the rest of that song. I just got it to the... I'm ready for that, and then it just stopped.
Pretending to Sophie, we keep bursting into song.
Corentin Mute is serving to stay in the tournament. 1-5. The Sinner box look a little bit more relaxed now. Serves down the tee and the forehand comes back cross-court. Sinner keeps on the forehand, goes inside in. These are blistering bullets from Sinner, but just goes long. Little pump of the fist again from Corentin Mute.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for your emails and tweets. We've had so many this evening. It's been hard to get through them and still bring you ball by ball of this match. But we do appreciate them. We read them all.
serve out wide. The backhand spins deeper than it's through the middle of the court. Mute runs round and goes inside into the backhand, swished very deep. Short ball to attack with the forehand into the corner from Jannik Sinner, and it's 15-all.
And Mute very much thinks the world's against him. Shaking his head, sighing, deep, deep sighs.
That is a common Mute theme.
He's not without his flair for drama, Mute, in how he expresses himself. Well, and his tennis. His tennis, certainly in that first set, was incredibly dramatic.
Serve down the tee, the backhand through the middle of the court, the forehand cross court and short from Mute. Mute goes onto the centre line again. Into the corner goes Sinner with his backhand. Now the forehand from Sinner inside in. Now the backhand from the Italian cross court to the Frenchman's cross court forehand. Sinner trying to get the job done here, and he's now 2 points away from doing just that.
I do feel as though that racket of Mute's is living on borrowed time somewhat. It's survived a couple of cracks, it's survived some bounces, it's survived him putting his head on the butt of it and running around in a circle. And now he's just gone to bounce the ball, and it's bounced off his foot and run off to the ball. Ball kid. Nothing is going his way.
Backhand from Sinner down the line. It's cross court swept from Mute. It's very deep from Sinner, finds line. Sinner will attack with a backhand cross court. It comes back to his backhand. He redirects it up the line onto the sideline. Sinner comes forward with the volley into the corner, and he has match points. 2 hours, 40 minutes. Darren Cahill, his coach, one of his coaches, up on his feet, pumping his fist. Jannik Sinner with a point for his place in the quarterfinals.
And Darren Cahill, again, looks like he's put on everything he brought with him for the whole trip. He's got at least two hoodies, a puffer jacket over him, and he still looks a bit chilly. He'll be happy, though. Happy with this outcome. Ball just hitting the Lacoste box. It's positioned just behind each official.
12 minutes past 11 in the evening. Mute waits for silence. Sinner, match point. Mute serves out wide, thundered back to his feet. Netted from Corentin Mute. And Jannik Sinner did indeed weather the storm. And he is through to the quarterfinals. Jannik Sinner gets the job done in 2 hours and 41 minutes. 2-6, 6-3, 6-2, 6-1. We're going to be hearing from him very shortly. There'll be a round of applause when Corentin Mute leaves the court. But I think one of the most pleasing things for Sinner will be how he unscrambled himself to get a handle on that match.
Very much so. As you just hear the chants of Mute, the crowd showing their appreciation in their own way for their man, who's put on a wonderful cameo performance this evening, particularly that first set. He came out here, he was all guns blazing, and Sinner just did not know how to deal with it at all. He looked lacking in confidence, he looked confused, he looked bemused, he looked befuddled, he looked lost. And slowly but surely he started to find himself. And once he did, the outcome always seemed to be set.
Lovely reception. He puts his hand to his heart. He waves the crowd, the 25-year-old, still young, 79 in the rankings, makes his way off Philippe Chatrier. Alex Perecha, I don't think was in the box, two boxes down, will be doing the interview on court.
He might have been hiding from us again. You know, just
yes,
ducking down
that
below,
true,
the, below the desk in case we looked over.
Every chance. Some of the crowd are having to leave, most are here, and here we go, Alex Krejci with Jannik Sinner.
Double finalist ici à Roland Garros, Alex Krejci.
Jannik, congratulations. Corentin, he plays totally different game from other opponents. Is this the reason, and all the credit to him, why you took a little bit long to understand how to play against him? Good job.
Yeah, I think it's... it was very tough for me. I think he played very, very well the first set. I had some chances, but he played much better than me, so I had to adjust a little bit. He had an amazing run here, this Roland Garros. The atmosphere, as always, has been amazing. Thanks, everyone, for coming out. You are right. No, he plays different than most of the opponents, so it was tough for me. He's also lefty. You don't play so many times against left-handers, so I'm happy to be in the next round.
We know pretty much that you control your emotions, but full stadium, mainly most of them with Corentin, I think. Mainly. No, well, not really. Maybe not mainly. But from outside, it seems like you don't get nervous and you just focus on yourself. It's something that you try to go point by point. You don't think about the score. It just doesn't really matter how you feel. You just go for it till the end.
Maybe from outside it seems, but...
From outside only.
No, but I have to say it has been a very fair crowd also today. So thank you, everyone. I think it would be strange that all of you guys were here for me. So, but in the other way, it's always a big pleasure to play on this special court night session. It's always an honor. So, thanks everyone, and it's the atmosphere, as I said, has been amazing.
I agree, Yannick, but this is also credit to you, because you have values, you have respect, you have education, and everybody knows that. And this is very important in tennis and in life.
Thank
That's
you.
Why they support you also. And to finish, because it's a little bit cold, but, you know, a lot of people, many times, they wonder, what do they have, the tennis players? How many rackets do they bring into the court? Can you tell us how many rackets you brought tonight for this match? And if you have different tensions, how many t-shirts, how many shoes, how many hats?
What else do we want to know? So, I have 8 rackets. But always same tension, I never change.
Which tension can we know?
Secret. No, it's 28 kilos. I'm quite high. And with shoes, well, I have one pair of shoes, one head, as you can see. So I just try to play tennis. That's the only thing.
We enjoy your tennis.
Thank you.
We enjoy your personality. We wish you the best for the next round. Mesdames et messieurs, qualifiés pour le quart de finale, Yannick Sinner.
And now we know what he has in his racket bag. Just wants to play tennis. Plays it very well. Thank you to Alex Kuretsha for the questions. Thank you. Oh, look. You know, it's the Oscar music. When they want you to stop your speech, the music comes on.
It's giving you the wind-up signal.
Stefan's giving me the wind-up signal. Look, that was so quick. We hadn't even finished. Right. The music started while Sinner was talking, if you'd listened really carefully. thank you very much to Eleanor, to Stefan, to the rest of the team. If Antoine is not with us tomorrow, it's probably got something to do with the mouldy bread and the strawberries that Marcus forced him to eat. So there might be a little investigation into what's going on there. And thank you for getting in touch. Absolute pleasure to have you with us. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 o'clock local time, starting with Alina Svitolina, Elena Rybakina. We've got night session. We're together again for that, for Zverev and Rune. It's all happening, and Djokovic is playing during the day, and Stefan wants to go home, so I'm going to say goodbye, and we'll be back with you soon. Thank you very much, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Pretty big miss to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles type. a return from the deuce court because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Not only are they ready, but they will soon be walking out onto their respective courts. Welcome to day 8 of Roland Garros. The good news is that as we look out over Philippe Chatrier, the roof is open. No, the skies aren't clear, but the roof is open. Play on all courts today for the first time, starting at 11 o'clock. All the singles action will be contained in the main draw to court and court Susan Longland. There is doubles and mixed doubles elsewhere, and the junior competition is getting underway as well. Our base, as always, is Philippe Chatrier, where we will have the world number one, the US Open champion, Carlos Alcaraz, and Yannick Sinner. The Australian Open champion just bringing up the rear there. We've got the Wimbledon champion there and Alcaraz. Wow. It's a host of Grand Slam champions to keep you entertained. We'll have eyes and ears everywhere. It is lovely to have your company. So let's get started on this Sunday morning. Sophie and Marcus alongside myself, Gigi and Mai. My only complaint to start the day is desperate to find an open boulangerie on our 30-minute walk-in, and all of them, Sophie, were fermé.
Fermé because it's dimanche, Sunday.
That's when you need a baguette or a croissant.
Yeah, but it was probably too early. I don't know. What time was it?
10 o'clock.
Oh, you must have
time
gone.
Time do you guys
to...
get up?
That's very strange.
Très paresseux,
yeah, very lazy, yeah. Well, listen, this is France. And yes, maybe it was like, I'm surprised because I, on my way this morning at, I left at 8:30, yeah. And to tell you the truth, it was open on my way.
Left at 8:30 you still only made the top of the show by 10 seconds.
Yeah, because I was in a meeting with the Billie Jean King Cup meeting. Okay. So there you go. I have a good excuse.
Maybe all the owners of the boulangeries in the area were here until 7 minutes past 3 this morning, watching Novak Djokovic come through against Lorenzo Musetti in 5 sets.
How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I've had more sleep. Probably had less at times, but it's no good. And Stefan as well.
Yes, yeah, Stefan as well. You guys are troopers, I have
we
to
are.
Say. And Simon, of course, but Simon is probably still sleeping.
Tucked up in bed, probably.
Lucky him.
He said, I'm not starting tomorrow.
FYI, they all finished at 4 in the morning last night. Well, this morning, should we say.
I was into bed at 4. I think 3:58, I switched the light off, determined to get to sleep before 4 o'clock.
Ouch.
And I think I may have managed it, but really, really looking forward.
Was that the latest you've ever done? On a tennis commentary?
Australian Open, Johanna Konta, yeah. Garbiñe Muguruza finished, I'm sure that finished about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning,
about 3:30
in the morning. It was on the outside court, so they had to change it because the birds had unloaded on one of the courts. So
oh,
they
really?
Had to, as
That's
they do at night, so they had to, they. I think that was about 3:30, I'm thinking that was, as Anastasia Podapova has been introduced out onto Philippe Chatrier, and very shortly we will get the reception, and the court is filling up. It's overcast, it's chilly, due to get to a high of around 20 degrees. Not meant to be any rain, but again, I'm not a weather expert.
That's what they said yesterday.
Not a weather expert, so I'm not putting it out there as fact. Let's get the introduction of the world number one. It's a wonderful reception, as you'd expect, from the now 23-year-old Iga Świątek as she makes her way out onto Philippe Chatrier. And the good news, Marcus, in terms of the tournament, as far as they're concerned, is they're up to date, amazingly, with the matches in the schedule.
It's extraordinary when you consider how much rain there has been. But they've got two factors in their favour. Of course, for the first time, they've had two roofs this year, which has made a huge difference. And because of the floodlights on all the other courts, they've been able to play late, very late, where necessary. Of course, you and I, Gigi, were here about three nights ago, when it was after 1 o'clock in the morning that Victoria Azarenka and Mira Andreeva finished. So because of those two factors, unbelievably, they're up to schedule. You just wonder, if there was only one roof, God forbid, if there were no roofs here, I don't know what would be happening.
We'd be doing a lot of talking.
Well, this has to be in the history of Roland Garros the worst as far as weather is concerned, because the length of the time that it's been like really lingering, I mean, a full week of just constant
cold. And you've got your coat on and a scarf,
I'm
and I've still got my coat on.
I feel like it's October.
It's yeah, it does. It
actually was warmer when they had it in October after COVID.
Might be a slight exaggeration.
That's right. I remember being very cold, very cold during that event. Not sure.
Debatable.
Yeah, it is.
Wasn't much of a difference, though, to be fair.
Not much.
Apparently, it's 13 degrees Celsius right now, a maximum of 18 degrees Celsius, 15 kilometre per hour wind, and there wasn't any rain in that forecast. I guess the big thing will be recovery for certain players playing late into the night, the little backup night session running over. But in front of us, Sophie, the player that you're going to be focusing on is Iga Świątek, an absolute machine of a woman, of a player, of an athlete, of an everything.
Yeah, pretty incredible what she's been able to do, especially the comeback from that match against Osaka, where she was pretty much gone, but not so fast, not when you're Iga Świątek.
So what's your game plan if you're Anastasia Potapova?
Well, you know, it used to be a time where people were thinking like, oh, let's try not to be bageled or a little baguette.
I'd love one of those right now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Your wish.
But I think that because, you know, of the fact that obviously, you know, everybody's human, but you're not Osaka either, but you're going to have to try to take time away, and that's what Potapova can do from Iga Świątek, although on these conditions with this weather and with this heaviness of a court, it's not easy. I think it's really favouring Świątek to have this kind of courts.
Let's just remember, though, that Potapova has six wins against top 10 opposition. She has won a title on clay. She is through to the round of 16 for the first time at a slam. She's feeling great because her clay court form had been pretty awful up until this stage. She has, I'm sure, seen that Świątek has looked a little vulnerable, notably in that 2-hour 57-minute epic. I am trying to paint as positive a picture as possible for her.
Oh, I think it's a very good picture. And, you know, the time to peak on the clay is the time to peak at the second major, and she's doing just that. So I have to agree. The thing is, it's all about to find out if really Świątek is going to give you anything, because she's so constant, you know, in the way she's playing. The consistency has been pretty incredible. And even when she's really, really struggling, as we saw against Osaka, she was able to pull that one. And, I mean, the amount of energy and the mental toughness that she displayed that day was pretty incredible.
Well, it's about creating doubt.
I mean, the trouble is when you've won 17 matches in a row at Roland Garros, you're on a 15-match winning streak on this clay, which isn't even her best run on the surface, then obviously you're going to feel great, and your opponent, I mean, listen, you're in the round of 16 for the first time at a slam. You're on Châtre. I know it's a little bit of a cliche, and some coaches might not like this, but you've got to go and embrace the situation, enjoy it as best you can, and, you know, anything can happen in sport. I know it's exceptionally unlikely, but you've already had a good week. Make the most of it.
If we're thinking that this is unlikely, then what's intriguing me is on court Susan Longland, because something that could be likely. We've got Wimbledon champion and former runner-up here, Markéta von Drusen, going through some bits and pieces off-court, been playing well on-court, against this wonderful story of qualifier Olga Danilovic of Serbia. She's now on a six-match unbeaten run through the qualifying competition. The smile and the tears streaming down her face when she reached the first time, the second week of Grand Slam, is just sensational. And that match against Donna Vekic, it was brutal, bruising, and mesmerizing.
It was painful. Painful for both players, and of course, most painful for Vekic, but who could not really move at the end of the match. Both of them were exhausted. It's pretty incredible that they were able to push it that far.
I tell you who else suffered pain that day, particularly in the first set, and that was Danilovic's coach, because she was going right at him throughout, and then she went off court having lost the first set 6-love, reappeared. I mean, she wasn't an entirely different creature because there was still plenty of emotion, but somehow she squeezed through the battle. She's become one of my favourite players off the back of that.
Yeah, it's a great story. Best story of the tournament,
and her emotion,
I think, so far. Yeah.
And the tears at the end.
Adorable.
Absolutely. And you love these stories. You love. I loved Elena Avanesyan, who came through against Zhong Xin Wen yesterday. I remember last year's lucky loser, she beat Belinda Bencic, and she went on this absolute tear. And it's great to see. So possibly we could have an upset over there. I know you guys are going to keep a close eye on that. There's doubles everywhere.
But as you mentioned, Danilovic is all about recuperation. Was she able to really have the time after this really thrilling match? And it's our seventh match. You know, it takes seven matches normally when you're in the main draw to win the tournament.
Mm. And in the previous round, don't forget, she beat Collins, who was being tipped by many to go deep. And that's why when she then lost the first set 6-love the next day to Vekic, you're thinking, well, you just beaten Danielle Collins, that's a huge win, but here's the letdown.
Well done, you.
And the fact that she's now managed to overcome that makes me feel that maybe she could do it again.
Right, I'm going to leave you two to it. Now, you always joke about me going for massages. It's one of those days today I wish I was going for one.
You wish you were going back to your bed.
I would
really
fall fast asleep and I would enjoy it until I returned at 1 o'clock. Sadly, it is not meant to be, but Marcus has brought baguettes and blackberries and hairless, legless strawberries, a massive coffee for himself. He's got Sophie alongside him.
Sweet.
And we cannot wait to get sunbathed.
You also claim that something just flew out
it
of that
did.
Strawberry
when you took
pilot.
It out of the paper bag, something with wings took flight.
Oh, it's okay.
Fruit fly, that's all right, isn't it?
Let's not worry about it.
I didn't say
protein.
To worry
if
about
anything
it.
You eat it, you
I
get
was
some
just
protein.
Saying there was something flying out of your strawberries.
It's entirely possible.
Right, enjoy the strawberries, the tennis. If you want to get in touch with us, you know how to do so.
Thank you, Empress. Yes, of course, you can tweet us at radio_RG, at radio_RG. You can email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr. And we are set to go on court Philippe Chatrier. They're already underway on Suzanne Longland. And on court Simon Mathieu, I note with my British hat on that Jamie Murray is in doubles action with Michael Venus. They're the 13th seeds. They're up against the French pairing of Barrère and Puy, as that ridiculous loaf of bread reappears.
Oh, it's, my. How is that possible?
It's now at least 8 days old.
You left
old.
It here.
Well, I bought it on the first, the day before the Roland Garros started. There's still no mold on it. I'm saving this for Antoine later. I'm going to make him a strawberry sandwich. I'm going to say it's a tradition that you have to have a strawberry sandwich on the middle Sunday at Radio Roland Garros.
He's going to look at you funny, I'm telling you.
He already does. Świątek is serving. It's 15 love. And in fact, it's 30 love because Potapova has just missed her return. So, Sof, what time did you get to bed last night?
Oh, I was in bed by midnight, I think. I was very lucky.
Did you watch the football?
No. Was it 0-0?
No, 2-0. 2-0 to Real Madrid.
Oh, yeah. Well, the second half at the end, maybe, no?
Yes, they got two relatively late goals. And actually, Dortmund, certainly in the first half, I thought for periods of the second were the better team. But Real Madrid have a habit of winning matches when you don't necessarily expect them to. Backhand reply is a clean winner from Potapova.
Well, that's one thing that you're going to see from Potapova. She's going to try to attack the second serve. That is the weakest link, I would think, of Świątek. That second serve is not always very potent. And, for sure, Anastasia is going to tee off on that. She has the opportunity to do so.
Looking at a couple of the tweets from the wee small hours, as we see Świątek go cross-court on the forehand. Great depth from her. Now she's testing out Potapova's backhand and it fails the Russian. It's into the net. Now Mark tweeted to say, such a shame that BBC Radio 5 Live pulled their coverage. They're the national station in the United Kingdom covering the tennis. And then goes on to say that Radio Roland Garros was a fabulous alternative. Mark, alternative?
What an insult.
Really? And then,
oh, what an ace.
Yes, holds to 15. Does go on to say very nice things about us, and hopefully from now on you will consider 5 Live to be the alternative. But as we're on air, from the start of play every day until the close of play, I don't think there'll be any need for you to switch away after this. But thanks for getting in touch. And of course, I know it's, well, for many of you, it's an early Sunday morning. You're probably just rubbing your eyes. Maybe you've found a boulangerie near you that's actually got some bread, some croissants. You know when you've got a yearning for something? So from this morning, I had a yearning for an almond croissant.
You did?
I just woke up this morning, oh, could I have a lovely almond croissant and a coffee?
You didn't find it?
Nothing. There's one boulangerie, which is obviously very, very good, which I swear to God had queues going around the corner.
Yeah, well, that's... especially if the other ones were closed.
So...
Gigi was saying?
Yes, well, they were. But actually, that one I noticed has queues every day, so it's obviously... very, very good. But I'm tempted. Do you want to go into business? We could open a boulangerie that actually opens on a Sunday. We'd make money.
Sorry.
Put you in a little apron.
I'm all good. Thank you, though. But you go ahead.
Are you good with your soggy bottoms?
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Well, that's a cooking term. Never quite know what it means, but I assume it means that the bottom of your pastry is a bit soggy as Potapova goes wide.
Yeah, Potapova is definitely trying to... power our opponents, just not finding the court right now. This is our style of play. Just a big hitter from the baseline, 15-all of one.
And now she's playing a forehand to the backhand side of Świątek. She really made Świątek move, and she couldn't control the ball.
Yeah, good first serve wide to open the court, and then the inside-out forehand for Potapova with a lot of pace. When you beat Świątek, as far as her speed is concerned, you've done a good job.
Krajicka has been in touch again as Świątek returns on her forehand side. It's forehand to forehand. Low, flat, hard from Świątek. Then she changes the angle to the backhand. Up goes a high defensive ball. Świątek lets it bounce and hammers it away. Krajicka was really impressed by your singing last night, you'll recall. He says, good morning from the sunny Republic of Macedonia to the Empress Salmon, to Sir Marcus, the Duke of Buckland, and to Sophie, la Duchesse d'Amiac.
La Duchesse d'Amiac. I like this. It's very sweet.
I've won 30 all.
Backhand. You know, I used to busk, right?
Yes. Oh, no, I know. Absolutely. Multi-talented.
Loved it.
Second serve from Potapova. Backhand reply from Świątek. And then the angle, that's good from Potapova. She's got a mid-court ball, but Świątek's defended very well. She's got herself back into the rally. Now it's a high forehand from Potapova. Świątek waits, attacks the backhand side. She's got another short ball. She's going to smash this one away, and she does.
Well, here's the difference between those two players. One is much faster than the other, physically. So she's going to get to balls much more and give really from the defensive going into offense. And that's exactly what Świątek is able to do right now.
Krajicka says, I hope the weather stays sunny in Paris. Well, it hasn't got sunny yet, but it's dry, which is a major step forward, Krajicka. He's got a suggestion if we have more rain. Potapova misses with a first serve. I propose the song which Sophie sang yesterday is chosen as the theme tune for this incredibly rainy French Open. He's given a YouTube link to the song. Backhand from Świątek to the lofted backhand side of Potapova, and then down the line for another winner for Świątek, and she's got the break straight away. Just 6 minutes on the clock, and the world number one leads by 2 games to love.
Yeah, she's on top of things right now. Świątek taking the ball early and not really letting Potapova breathe. She knows that she might get Potapova to hit a few winners here and there with the strength and the pace of her ball, but most of them eventually are going to be returned, and any short ball, you know that Świątek is going to jump on them.
So 2 love. And there's been a break straight away on Suzanne Longlin as well. Olga Danilovic is 2 love, 30 love against Super Marketa Vondrousova. So a much better start than she enjoyed against Donna Vekic. The forehand from Potapova is long. And this link to the song you were singing yesterday is, according to Krajicka, the 1928 recording, something that Suzanne Longlin and Les Quatre Mousquetaires may have heard. It's released on the Crown label, which was part of a British publisher that I will cover in a conference in Guildford 2 days after the men's final.
We have to listen to that.
Do you want to give us a little rendition again, a reminder of what you were singing?
Was that the Il pleut berger? Il pleut, il pleut. Was that that one?
Well, I tried to block it out of my mind.
Oh,
can you not
really
remember what you were singing last night?
I've sang
a lot, I know.
A few.
We'll listen to the link before we hear you
again. I'm pretty sure it's Plou Berger. Good second serve deep for Świątek, clipping the line. A forced return in the net from Potapova. 30-love, 2-love serving Świątek.
Heather's been in touch from Lincoln in the United Kingdom. Come back to that. Świątek says sorry because the throw-up wasn't to her liking.
She just liked to tease.
Now she's serving down the middle. She's just missed.
I mean, just ask everybody out there. Do you
like
that expression, the throw-up? It's not a throw-up. It's a toss.
I know. But technically, you are throwing up the ball.
No, you're not throwing up, technically. Nobody's throwing up. Let's hope. Only Pete Sampras. But that was a long time ago.
I was there for that, funnily enough, yeah. Yuck. It's a slice on the backhand. Up goes the attempted lob. It was reached by Świątek, and she put enough power on that overhead smash to force the error from Potapova.
And a very distinct difference in what she hit in this point, Świątek. She went with the slice down the line approach. Normally, she comes in and hits a screaming backhand cross-court winner with two hands. But here, the choice was absolutely remarkable. Love it.
2-love, 40-love. Świątek. First serve into the net. Of course, she's got the white peak cap pulled down so low. It's a big challenge for the photographers, as they were telling us the other day, to get a good animated picture of Świątek's features. Second serve, the backhand reply. Great return. Short angle, cross-court winner. Well,
that's the second serve. The vulnerability of the second serve, 138K. That's the only place that you might be able to get some joy right now from Świątek. She has worked on her serve. The first is much better already. Changed the motion. It's now going to an abbreviated motion instead of going down and opening a little bit of racket face as she was preparing for the shot.
40-15, she's serving body serve. Good deep return from Potapova, who's onto her double hander. And Świątek goes into the net.
Yep, that unforced her, unusual, especially from the backhand. Just didn't get her feet up to the ball enough.
Heather in Lincoln says, I'm amazed I've made it for the start this morning. Stefan and Gigi are made of something special.
Yeah, I agree.
She goes on to say, thank you so much for last night, although I think my husband wondered what was going on when I leapt out of bed and danced around the room at 2 a.m.
Was she checking the score?
Well, she says, go Nole. So clearly she was cheering on Novak, who eventually came through an epic in whatever it was, 4.5 hours, something like that.
Yeah, Mizetti, very tough contender. Always had trouble against him.
40-30. First service to the backhand. Deep return again. Forehand cross court now from Potapova to the forehand side of Świątek. That pattern continues. And then Potapova goes down the line to the backhand of Świątek, who finds a good angle cross court. And the backhand slice from Potapova is into the net. So she got it back from 40-love to 40-30. But she can't halt the runaway train. And Iga Świątek sits down, leading in the opening set by 3-love, which is also the lead Olga Danilovic holds at the moment over Super Marketa Vondrousova on court Suzanne Longlen. And not good news for Jamie Murray and Michael Venus, who are 4-love down in the first set
on
court Simone Mathieu.
The alarm didn't go.
No. Well, they're playing Barrère and Puy, the French team, who I'm sure have got some good support already, although it's relatively early in the morning and everybody's stomachs are rumbling. And I'm going to keep an eye out, Sophie, on court 11, where Charlie Robertson, a very talented British junior, who I've seen in action several times, is playing the ninth seed from Korea, Jang Jum Kim. Charlie came through qualifying, so good luck to him. One of 4 British boys in singles action, and we've got some very good girls. And don't forget, if you get a chance to go and see Hannah Klugman today, Sophie, I'd love to hear your thoughts about her game.
The sister of Péricard is playing Daft Image Peace. She, Péricard also, junior, playing on court 9 against Christiana Sidorova, 2-all.
Question for you, Sophie, from John, with regards to Djokovic, who came through, but he just wonders how he uses the word compromise will Novak be, having played until 3:00 in the morning.
Well, it's all about recovery, and we know that he's got a team of very highly professional that probably worked and started working on his body as soon as he got off the court and got through the press conference. And today is going to be a big day for that. So it's all about this. I think if anybody with the experience that he has on his team, I think he would be able to recover the best. It was a test and passed the test, which I think really is showing that he's starting to play to his best tennis. He wasn't there to come into this tournament. So I think, I think it's to find out, you know, the recovery. It's definitely going to take a toll on him. There's no doubt.
Mention the run of success for the women's world number one, who we're watching at the moment. Back in action tomorrow. Net cord slows up the ball very nicely for Świątek, who comes in and puts away an off forehand. 15-match winning streak on clay, 17-match winning streak at Roland Garros. And among players who have competed in a minimum of 10 matches at Roland Garros during the Open era, before the age of 24, only Chris Evert, at 94.4%, has a better win rate than Iga Świątek.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
She's got a long way to go, of course, before we can put her in the same category. But there's no reason to think that she couldn't eventually assume that sort of dominance and those incredible records that Chris manufactured. Now the net court again takes the pace off the ball, but Świątek just went across onto the backhand side of Potapova. She tried to go down the line. She netted. It's another game for Świątek. This could be over very quickly. Just 13 minutes gone, and it's 4-love already.
Well, this is exactly, you know, telling the story. It's just that she's not quick enough, Potapova, to instinctively worry Świątek. And so many times we've been seeing Potapova being pushed to the back end, resorting to the one-handed backhand slice to just try to retrieve the ball.
Four-love. Świątek clips the tape. Pink, salmon pink top for Potapova. The greyish surface is probably going to say it's a green skirt.
No, it is grey.
It is grey. Good.
Grey.
And a sort of lime-coloured on the cap and a forehand into the net from Potapova, who just stands and shrugs her shoulders and looks up at a box and then shakes her head as she walks across her baseline. She's 5'7" tall, 23 years of age, long blonde hair, it's a very lengthy or rather bunched up ponytail and a lengthy tail to the pony. You see what I mean? It stretches down almost to that grey skirt. So when she unfurls her hair, I don't know if you've ever seen her unfurling her hair, but I bet it's quite a sight. Well, why are you looking at me like that, sir?
No, I'm not. I was thinking actually about Osaka's hair.
Oh.
That would be quite a sight.
Yes.
That is, I mean, very long hair.
Yeah, but look how long the ponytail is from Potapova.
I agree.
She's missed a forehand return.
Yeah. It goes all the way down to her lower back almost, yeah. It's pretty long, I agree.
She's currently ranked at 41 in the world. She's been as high as 21. It's her 18th Grand Slam, mentioned at the start of the show. First time she's made it through to the round of 16 at one of them. Former Wimbledon girls champion in 2016. Backhand cross court from Potapova onto the forehand, driven down the line with consummate ease by Iga Świątek.
And she's only 23, Potapova. Let's not forget that. She's exactly the same age as Świątek, so who just celebrated her 23rd birthday. That was last week.
Two days ago, yeah.
Nice cake that they had for her, nice celebration.
And the wonderful singing from Fabrice Santoro. Forehand return is long.
That sounded a little bit sarcastic.
Well,
this is an easy set so far. 5-love. Holding at love once again for Świątek. Not really any competition right now. Świątek putting her towel on top of her legs, on top of her shoulders, as it is quite chilly here in Roland-Garros. Porte d'Auteuil, beautiful stadium, Court Philippe Chatrier.
So what was this meeting you had this morning for the Billie Jean King Cup?
Well, every year we have a club called the Billie Jean King Cup France, which is composed of active and players who in the past played, some of us mostly played in Fed Cup. And we organize events for the generation or the young players in France to come to some of the ties. We do a lot of different things also to bring the ex-players to come to the ties as well and support the team. So talk about different event. Obviously, we talked about the Billie Jean King Cup, losing the tie to Ubrit, which was pretty tough, and now they have to play against Colombia, which will be probably in 2,000 meter altitude in Bogota, which is going to be scary because you have to get there early. So all this stuff we talk about, and just try to improve and give back to tennis in a way, shape, or form, but also to keep, you know, the players together, which is very nice.
Was Julien Beneteau at the meeting?
Yeah, Julien came and talked, and Amélie was coming. I had to leave because she had quite a late night as well, because Amélie is the president, Morismo, of the France Billie Jean King Cup.
Julien's the captain, of course. Did he ask how his brother, Antoine's getting on
the
radio?
He did not. We didn't have time to talk about that.
Well, Antoine was taking their parents out to dinner last night. I don't know if Julien joined them for that, as Świątek goes down the line with another winner. And it's love 5, love 30.
Yeah, this is domination, really, on this court. Philippe Chatrier from the pole.
Matt Martin's been in touch. Potapova's first serve clips of Dave and Bounce is long on the subject of being an alternative to Radio 5 Live. Second serve to the forehand of Świątek, and that was a very deep return right onto the baseline. Backhand cross court now and into the net from Potapova. I mean, Świątek could do no wrong. Potapova could do nothing at all other than now look up at a coach, shake her head and say, what do I do?
Well, she's not doing anything to bother her. She's hitting the ball hard and the level of the hips of Świątek, which is not going to bother her. She's not throwing any drop shot, not throwing any slice. There's absolutely nothing that really is getting Świątek worried.
Three set points after just 19 minutes. It's a double fault. It's a horror story for Potapova. It's a walk in the park for Iga Świątek. She may be able to go in search of a boulangerie that's open, which is tough, inside the next hour or so. Rather tougher at the moment than playing Anastasia Potapova. Over on Suzanne Longlen, Olga Danilovic still has the advantage against Marketa Vondrousova. She's leading by 4-2. Barrère and Puy are serving for the first set against Murray and Venus, the 13th seeds in the men's doubles. 5-2 the scoreline there. Lots of doubles. Some junior action as well. Our featured player, Charlie Robertson of Great Britain, is level at 3-all in the first set with Jang Jun Kim, who is the number 9 seed from Korea. Just going back to Mad Martin and us being alternatives to 5 Live. He says, my favourite 2 weeks of tennis radio coverage. Quite often I don't even bother watching on TV because you guys on Radio Roland Garros paint such a vivid picture and the great conversation. Sitting in the sun with the radio on is perfect. We need more radio tennis coverage. And Happy Me, who's been in touch on a regular basis, says Radio 5 Live used to be my go-to station for the tennis, but they don't do all-day commentary apart from Wimbledon. And by the way, Happy Me, at Wimbledon, listen to the Wimbledon radio channel, because we do everything again from 9 o'clock in the morning until the close of play. Happy Me says, I discovered Radio Roland Garros sadly only last year. Now I'm with you all day, every day, and haven't given Russell and co another thought. Russell Fuller, good colleague and friend of ours, the tennis correspondent at Radio 5 Live. We're not really, well, we are kind of rivals, but it's quite a happy family, the tennis radio world, and we just, between us all, want to give you the best possible coverage. And Beanie Tennis says, thank you to Chris Bowers for his lovely work on the television yesterday. He really seemed to love the match between Bergs and Dimitrov, while others were tweeting that it was boring. Chris is just a massive tennis fan. He eats and drinks the sport. Covered his first Wimbledon back in 1989, he was telling me, when he was already quite an old man. Joking, Chris.
Excuse me.
Joking.
Are you telling
just
Chris
making sure
he's
you
a
were listening, Sophie.
I am
that's
totally
what, you've
listening.
Got,
I'm
you've got your
listening.
Back to me.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at both courts, computer, tennis, and more. What is this? We got to be 8, 9 points, 10 in a row from at least.
Yeah.
From
it's.
I'm gonna find out from Świątek.
Alas, it's not a contest. Marketa Vondrousova has breakback points against Danilovic to make that a rather more interesting battle. And I, well, I don't think we're going to be detained for too long with this one, after which we can go across to the other court. Coco Gauff is next on here against Elisabetta Cacciaretto. As Świątek serves to the backhand of Potapova, and then Świątek goes down the line.
So that's 13 points in a row for Świątek. I say ouch.
Yeah. Vishal says hello from India. I hope you guys had your coffee and your tea to energize after very little sleep from last night. To be honest, I was in bed actually listening to Simon and Gigi, chuckling to myself.
You're such a mean man. Well, I didn't listen. I closed at 12. I went to sleep. And I woke up this morning at 7 o'clock with the alarm. And I checked the score. And I went, oh, no.
Yeah.
And checked the time and the amount of time that it took. And I'm like, okay, this plus this plus this, they finish at 4 a.m.
Well, yeah, similar. I mean, I fell asleep towards the end of the first set, I think it was, as Świątek looks to get her first game on the board in the second set. She does, with an ace down the middle, swinging away from the right-hander.
I think we
have
15 points in a row.
15?
Well, I mean, look, she keeps adding them up. I'm going to count again, but I'm pretty sure that's that, if not 16. So
it was a second ace.
And it's 7-love, really. That's more likely to be the despair of what Potapova is in. I don't understand why Potapova didn't take off the court at 6-love and take a break and go to a bathroom break. I really don't understand that move when you have the ability and the possibility to do so, and you haven't been able to be competitive at all. Just go and, you know, give yourself a little pep talk, get off the court, change the rhythm, something.
Yeah.
You never know.
Maybe just go and get in a courtesy car and head back to the hotel.
Not very nice again.
Well, unfortunately, this is as one-sided as it gets. Potapova to the forehand. It was a body serve, but Świątek moved around, got there, and then watches as the plus one from Potapova goes long, and again she's gesturing in negative fashion to her coach.
16 points in a row.
I wonder what the record is. Do we have any idea what the record is?
No, I'll be interested. Interesting to find out. We can ask our listeners.
Well, if our unofficial statistician...
Well, we know, actually, because the golden set, obviously. We know that golden set was done by Shvedova to win 24 points in a row.
So was that against Irani?
Against Irani. Yeah. So 24 points in a row is the golden set. Plus, I think that were they ever... Yeah, I think there was a 6-love. I don't remember, but I have to check my notes. But we know 24 was for sure.
Yeah.
And now we're at 17, is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Love 30. First serve into the net. So yeah, I fell asleep towards the end of the first set of the Djokovic match. Got up in the night and thought, I'll just check the score. Deep ball from Potapova.
That's out. Yep, that's long. And Świątek stopped playing.
Yeah.
Asking for the chair umpire to come down quickly, running towards the mark, checking the mark, confirming it is out.
And that...
And that's make it 18.
And that signals a vocal barrage from Potapova towards her coach at the other end. Nothing at all is going her way, even the tight calls. So Sophie's going to keep account of this run of successive points for Świątek. Vondrousova has broken back, and now we're seeing some theatrics as well from Danilovic, aimed at her bearded coach. Backhand reply cross court from Świątek. Backhand deep from Potapova. She's winding up another backhand to the backhand side of Świątek, who then attacks the forehand, then goes back onto Potapova's backhand, down the middle of the court from Świątek. Slice on the backhand gives Świątek a short ball, and she's passed.
Well, listen to that reaction of the fans here saying, well, finally, stop the rot and stop the bleeding here. Finally getting some joy. Not the best approach shot for sure from Świątek, right down the middle and in the strike zone of Potapova, who finally hits a winner and wins a point.
and misses her first serve out wide to the Świątek forehand. Iga just behind her baseline, jumps forward now, returns on the forehand, back at the server. She's winding up another of those flattish forehands, and a brilliant forehand down the line from Potapova gives her a second successive point.
All about pride right now from Potapova, I tell you. I don't know if you remember the Festus six love on court here in Roland Garros. You don't? Final?
Yes, the final of what year was that?
Well, it was, the year was...